Matthew 27, we are continuing in a series that I started a few weeks ago concerning the greatest words ever spoken. It's amazing what folks say at the last days of their life. Christ said many great words. One time somebody said this, never man spake like this man. The first saying that we talked about on the cross was the most beautiful word that can come out of the lips of man. And that said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How many's glad this morning you're forgiven?
Amen.
Then last week we spoke about salvation, the most essential word. If you're going to heaven and you're going to escape hell, the only way you'll do that is to be saved by the grace of God. Amen. Now, one of the sayings I'm not going to do until Mother's Day, and that is the one concerning his mother, and we're going to do that on Mother's Day. But I want you, if you would, to go to Matthew 27. And this one, for whatever reason, has dealt with me more than anyone so far. It's moved in my soul. And I want you to look at Matthew 27 and verse 45. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
The Bible said, now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. Now let's go over it. Third hour, 9 o'clock in the morning. Sixth hour, 12 o'clock, noon. Ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You got the scene. Amen? And about the ninth hour, or at 12 noon, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias. Our Father, I pray, Lord, in these next moments in this auditorium and online, and as folks are sharing this message with their neighbors, God, I pray that the message of this thought would reach every one of us this morning. So tender, so wonderful, so mysterious. And I pray, God, that you would touch this preacher. Help me to preach like I've never preached before. Give me unction to function. The power of God to preach. And Lord, anoint me. And I know what it means. I want to be approved of you this morning. In Jesus' name, for his sake, amen. Thirdly, we want to speak in this series today on this word, just one word, why. Why? Why hast thou forsaken me? I call this the most mysterious word. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? How is it possible that someone could die 2,000 years ago, taking upon himself the sin of the world, the sin of all mankind, and it be relevant to me today? How could it? Something that happened so many years ago be still life-changing today? Somebody help me preach. How could something that that's happened so far in the past change my situation today? What is it about that story, the suffering, the pain, the agony, that can reach down to this modern man and post-Christian and post-modern culture? I call it the mystery of the ages. It was the sixth hour, 12 noon, Lois. During the brightest time of the sunlight, that darkness came upon the face of this planet. It was unexpected. Jesus had already died and already was there for 3 hours. Can I say this to you? That Calvary, when he died there, it meant that he was bringing birth or life to all of us. Can I tell you that what was happening there, the Creator was dying for his creation? Calvary, as Ted already quoted, was God commending his love toward us. Calvary was fulfilling John 3:16, for God so loved the world. This is the fourth time he spake. Three times he spoke before darkness, and three times he spoke after darkness, and one time he spoke in the midst of darkness. It's such a holy time. It was such a divine time. At noon, the sun refused to shine. Divine light was darkened. And you say, why? Here's what happened. God Almighty. Let me give you a scripture. This one I love. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. All right, let me say something to you. The sun hadn't been created yet. So who was the light? God's the light. So let me tell you what happened. Here's exactly what happened. God turned his back on his own son. And when God turns his back on society, everything goes black. Somebody help me preach. Calvary was a terrible place. It was absent of light. It was absent of water. It was absent of love. They showed so much hate there. It was absent of mercy. It was absent of kindness. But Jesus spoke the most mysterious word. My God. My God. Why hast thou forsaken me? Let me say this. I don't want to spend too much time here, but I think I may. I call that the most mysterious word. Because let me ask you a question. Have you ever asked it? There's not a man, woman, or boy and girl in this church that sometime, somewhere in your life, you haven't asked why. Maybe it's a sickness that invaded your family. You said, why? Maybe some family or somebody turned their back on you and you asked, why? Have you ever been to the place in your Christian life when the best you couldn't figure out how God was in it? The best you could do. You tried. How can God be in this cancer? How can God be in the death of my loved one? How can God be in this terrible situation in my life? Can you get the point now? Christ on the Calvary's cross, God's lovely son, God's wonderful son, someone that done nothing wrong, there said, my God, why? I want you to know something. You hear me? I've got to my message yet, but I'm getting there. It's terrible. Listen to me carefully. It's a terrible thing to be forsaken. Someone help me. Jesus had been forsaken of men. He was forsaken of his disciples. He was forsaken of his family. He was forgotten. Hey, by the way, all of them run away at Gethsemane. One denied him, one betrayed him, and left him all by himself. Right. Here on the cross, he's not calling on God in an intimate way now, as he did earlier, Father. But now he's saying to God, my God. My God. Whew. It actually is a fulfillment of Psalm 22. I don't know how many of you knew this. Actually, the Romans did not invent crucifixion. It was the Phoenicians. But the Romans perfected it. And when you died under Roman law on crucifixion, you were dying the most horrible, the most suffering that a human being could suffer. The doctors tell me that Jesus Christ suffered every flesh wound common to man. The Bible even said they could not even recognize him. He was beat to a pulp. I think sometimes we hear in sermons like this and it seems so far away. Ladies and gentlemen, he did it all for you. So with that, my God, why? Can I answer it? Why? Hast thou forsaken me? And I'll give you three things and I'll be done. Whew. And I sent some preach this morning. Number one, I want you to notice this. Why? The most experienced expressed the mystery that expressed Christ's sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. Why did he go? He didn't go there for his sin. He went there for your sin. What was his purpose? By the way, he volunteered to go. By the way, he chose to go. One scripture says that he entered into the volume of this book to do the will of God. And the will of God was that God's son would die for the whole world. Let me try to magnify this. I want y'all to, in this Christmas season or Easter season, to realize the significance of it. It's just not Easter eggs. It's him dying for you, becoming your redeemer, becoming your Messiah. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Let me say three or four things under this. First of all, Jesus forsook his position. He said, what was his position? I'll tell you how great his position was. Angels adored him. He was the glory of all heaven. He was the centerpiece of God's love. He was the most magnificent. He was the Lamb, the Lion. He was a wonderful child, a wonderful God in the flesh. He was a Messiah's. Somebody help me preach. Everyone looked to him. He was better than the angels, better than the prophets. But here's what he done. He voluntarily, for you, forsook that position. Not only did he forsake that position, he forsook his person. He was God. For a moment, that claim of sovereign ruler, he laid it down. That claim to be the mighty God, he laid it down. And he became your servant. Somebody ought to help me preach. I'll tell you what else he did. He sacrificed his power. They said to him, hey, they said to him this. Look at me. Call God. You saved others, save yourself. He on purpose. Look at me. He had power to come off the cross. He had power to raise the dead. Power to cleanse a leper. He had all power. But for you. For you. For all of you. He forsook the power. I'm going to lay it down for a time. Somebody help me. And we sit back here in the church and we come on our Sunday morning. It's our ritual. And we forget what it's all about. And we forget the Savior came to love you and die for you. And he forsook his position, forsook his person, forsook his power. But listen to this. He forsook his purity. My Lord, he was made sin for us. Somebody help me preach. He was so holy. He was God. Now, somebody asked this question. I'm going to try to explain it. Did he become a sinner? No, he wasn't a sinner. But get this plain in your mind. By him going to the cross, he represented every sinner. Every liar, every adulterer, every drug addict, every drunkard, every covetous person, every greedy person, every hatred person filled with hatred, every murderer, every time you've had an evil thought, it was God's son that went to the cross and represented you and took your place. If we're so quiet this morning, that just amazes me. That somebody high and holy would take my place. I should have been the one there. I should have been the one crucified. I should have had my hands pierced. I should have been the one that pulled the hairs out of my chin. I should have been the one, but no, it was him. Lord, I hope I'm magnifying this for you this morning. Number two, let me go a little further. I'm almost done. I'm winding up. I say that about 20 minutes ahead of time. Why? Number two, the mystery in Christ's separation on the cross. I want to say this, and I want you to listen to this carefully. You know what hell is? I know hell's fire. Hell's judgment. But I want to tell you what hell is in essence and death is. It's separation. Now you hear me out. This, what a mystery. He took my hell in that moment. So I don't have to go. Well, let me say three things. First of all, he was in a hopeless situation. How about hell is a hopeless situation? When you go to hell, you are abandoned. When you go to hell, you're forsaken. The word forsaken means to put down or put down in. Jesus Christ took your hopelessness, was put down into your hopelessness. He was abandoned by Almighty God. God turned his back on him. You say, why? Because he didn't want you to go to hell. The Son of Man or the Son of God became became the Son of Man, that we who are the Son of Men become the sons of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Woo! Hell also is a helpless place, or a place of helplessness. When the rich man cried out, go call my brothers. By the way, if you go to hell, there'll be no help for you. And here's what Jesus did. You know what Jesus voluntarily did? He voluntarily took your hell and your helplessness so that you don't have to be helpless. So you can be liberated, so you can be free, so you can enjoy the blessings of God. He took your hell so you don't have to go. Man, I'm trying to wind up. And also hell's a place of heartlessness. Him suffering, him dying, unable to get out. He suffered the eternal punishment that every sinner has to be punished. Now listen to this, I'm going to slow down. Chad, we've said it a lot. Hear me out. If you go to hell, you'll go over the blood of Christ. You'll go over the preaching of this book. You'll reject God's plan. Somebody help me preach. See, he suffered hell for everybody. Whosoever will. He took your punishment. But if you reject it, then you've got to pay for your own sin. Then you must. How many raise your hand this morning and say, good Lord, thank him for being forsaken. Thank him for taking my hell. Thank him for loving me. Thank him for caring for me. Thank him for substituting his life for me. I'm going to stop a second. That absolutely blows my mind. That's why it's a mystery. Then lastly, and I'm done. My God, why? Thirdly, the mystery explained in Christ's salvation of the cross. Romans 1:18 said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. You'll never see a clearer picture of what sin is until you go to the cross. And here's what our lovely Savior done. He condemned sin in his flesh. Years ago, I don't know how many remember this, I brought a cross in here. I think I almost need to do it again. And I asked everybody to come up and nail their sin to that cross. Ladies and gentlemen, Joe, when Jesus died, he got them all on the cross and judged sin for me and blotted out my sin and took my place and forgave me. Whoa! Not only did he condemned, it was pronounced, but God's compassion was presented. He commendeth his love toward us. He took the bitter cup. He was willing to go to the lengths that nobody else would go. Amen. Let me ask, how many saved people in this room? Every one of us ought to be raising our hand and say, boy, how he loved me. Boy, how he cared for me. What a Savior. Not what a preacher. Not what a church. What a Savior. Hallelujah. put too much emphasis on us. It ought to be all on him. Oh, I'll be done with an illustration. In 1937, right after the Depression, in the state of Missouri, there was a man who worked as a controller for a drawbridge that let, the bridge would open up and it would let ships go under. And then when trains were coming, the bridge was with a lever let down so trains could go over. It was 1937. John Griffith went to work like he had several times before. That day he took his little 8-year-old son with him. They were enjoying lunch. They had a wonderful day together. The bridge was up to let the ships through the Mississippi River. And all of a sudden, John heard a whistle blow. And off in the distance was a train. And John saw the train coming. So he reached down to get the lever to push it down so the bridge would be complete so that the train could go over. But when he looked down, out of despair, and there was a knot got into his throat, his 8-year-old boy had fell down into the mechanism, and he was laying there. And John had this dilemma: save his son or save the 400 on the train. And John Griffith made the choice. What a dilemma. What a dilemma. But John Griffith made the choice. I'm saving the whole. And he took the lever and he pulled it down. In doing so, the train went across safely. And his son was crushed. Ladies and gentlemen, God Almighty had a choice. That choice was either let my son go and die, or all humanity perish forever and ever. And can I say this to you this morning? Jesus is our bridge to heaven. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He took my place. He suffers death for me. He was my substitute. If you're here this morning and you're lost, your religion won't save you.
Amen.
Your good works won't save you.
Right.
Being a nice guy won't save you. It takes a bridge. It takes a highway to heaven. And that was provided by the lovely, wonderful, precious Son of God.
Amen.
Bow your head with me, Lois, would you please come? Heads bowed, eyes closed. No one looking around. Again, how many know that you know that you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Amen. I want the one that's going to be baptized, go ahead. With all heads bowed, there's several people. You didn't raise your hand. I mean, right now, say, Preacher Smith, I'm not saved. It's hard for me to believe that God took my place. Christ took my place, but he did. Preacher, I don't want to die lost. I don't want to go to hell. I do believe in the death, burial, and resurrection. I believe he done it for me, and I want to be saved. How many right now in this room never been saved? Sit, put your hand up and say, before I die or before Christ comes, I want to know I'm going to heaven. Would you raise your hand? Just raise it up. I see that hand. I see you. Thank you. Let me put it down. Somebody else. Just slip your hand up high. Preacher, I want to know for sure. I don't know, preacher. I don't know. If I die, I know I'm going to hell. Preacher, pray for me. Slip your hand up. Stand with me. If God spoke to you about your sin, you've seen that he went there for you, would you please come? Our Father, thank you for this moment. Lord, thank you that you took our place and become my substitute. In Jesus' name, amen.